Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the Gospel of the Promise. Chapter 2. The High Relevance of Promises in a Person's Present Time. During the approaches to the several facets of the Gospel of God that have already been carried out through the subjects preceding the present material and which were mentioned in the previous chapter, we highlighted that a particular challenge in understanding the gospel of the Lord is always related to what God 1. Has already done for all people through his gospel even before someone receives it. 2. Wants to do in each person the moment one personally receives the gospel. 3. Wants to accomplish from the moment a person receives the gospel. 4. Promises to perform in the future for all those who have received his gospel. An adjusted understanding of the gospel of God will always contemplate aspects about what God has already done through the gospel, what God does in the present through it, and what the Lord promises to do through the same gospel, bearing still in mind that the aspects related to the future can encompass both what is possible to be achieved and lived in the time on earth, as well as what is reserved for eternity after our time in the present natural body comes to an end. Knowing that the gospel of God does not only encompass a set of past historical actions, neither only for the present, nor exclusively for the near future, and not only for a distant future, allows a much more precise and broader understanding of what God offers us freely through this gospel. Each of the central aspects of the gospel contains in a special and singular way a set of actions for each of the different periods mentioned in the previous paragraphs, a consideration that becomes even more pronounced when we see the gospel from the perspective of the theme of the promises. Among the various aspects that make up the gospel of God, the point regarding the promise or promises is one of the factors that most presents a concentration of aspects to be applied already in a person's present life. The matter of the present moment of the gospel of God is especially evident when this gospel is seen from the perspective of promises, because, in a sense, a promise is only characterized as such in the present moment. Although during the approach to the present subject we use the expressions of past promises and promises already fulfilled, the promises that have already been promulgated and that have already been fulfilled, in a way, are no longer promises, but express facts that have been promised and historically already fulfilled. Similarly, promises to be announced in the future also do not yet exist. A promise only exists if it has already been announced, if it has already been promulgated, and if there is still time for it to be fulfilled. For a promise to be considered active, it must already have been verbalized, and, at the same time, it still needs to be in effect or not fulfilled to remain as a promise. As we have already mentioned above, a promise, in itself, is eminently a present reality. And as much as it announces declarations for the near or distant future, the promises, properly speaking, exist and aim at objectives in the present time of a person's life. Promises are statements or affirmations that are made in the sense that someone will accomplish something or that something will be done more ahead, and which often are necessary because we live in the present with a future perspective and concerning which a set of positions is expected to be adopted before the future comes true or becomes present. One of the characteristics associated with the use of promises should be the one that aims to signal projections of some actions that someone promises to perform in the future to serve as parameters for the choices and actions of people in the present time. Promises are statements that, in principle, should have the purpose of cooperating with people so that they in the present may have more references to adopt positions according to future expectations or so that they may prepare themselves in advance concerning the events that are expected to occur in a period more ahead. There are many situations for which promises are used with the goal of sustaining people's hopes, because even what is adequately or rightly expected cannot always be accomplished at the moment when some people expect them to be fulfilled. In the world, There are several situations in which there is a need for an interval between the time that something can be legitimately expected and the time that the expected aspect can indeed be accessed or can be reached because the requirements for fulfilling the promise have been met. If life were entirely devoid of promises, many essential gaps about the present and the future would be completely obscured. Without the existence of promises, people would be faced with enormous difficulty in understanding, for instance, the gospel of the righteousness of God and that the Lord is righteous and true towards all and in all circumstances. To be righteous in everything and with everyone, the Lord makes use of his long-suffering in order to offer his salvation widely to the lost, for the Lord does not want anyone to be lost. However, for the saved, the Lord also makes use of his promises to sustain them during the time that he uses long-suffering towards all, including those who despise the heavenly promises, as explained in the following text. 2 Peter 3, 1-15, A. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. When people, in the present time, lose or despise their understanding of the value of the promises God has given them, they begin to enter the risk of turning their everyday words and attitudes into frivolous and irresponsible expressions, forgetting that many of these attitudes will define the basis for their future not only on earth but also, and especially, for the life that follows after the period that they remain in the natural world. Philippians 3, 18-19. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Understanding the function of promises is also vitally important concerning a person's prayer life, for although God may have already taken into account one's prayers and supplications, he does not always immediately manifest the desired response because of a broader set of actions that need to be carried out in advance so that all the Lord's works are always done according to his long-suffering, integrity, and righteousness. When God answers with promises or reaffirmation of promises in response to the prayers or supplications made to him, even though they may not yet be the answer to the actual fulfillment of the request itself, The Lord is responding with a guarantee that the prayers have been heard and will be answered according to what was promised, thus characterizing the promises as a powerful means in the present for the comfort and strengthening of a heart that draws close to God. As we can see throughout the scriptures, during the whole period of human life, the Lord has intervened and manifested himself to the world with countless promises to grant strength to people's hope, an aspect that also remains valid to support the life of each person in the present generation. Nowadays, God continues to present the promises described in his scriptures to the world so that people may find in them what is appropriate to expect from the Lord, just as the Lord also remains ready to strengthen the heart of every person who comes to him so that everyone who places one's trust in God may be supported by the divine promises for whatever one needs to live and walk according to the will of the heavenly kingdom. 2 Peter 1:2-7. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Proverbs 23:17-18. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off.